This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Good to be with you. More wildlife outside our door here. We've got...
It's a grackle.
We had the grackle the other day. We had two ducks out there just now. With the red
those crowns. The red ugly noses.
Yes.
They're the ugliest ducks in existence.
Will you go tell them that to their face out there?
Well, you guys fed them. Which
yeah.
Is good.
Yeah.
You could tell that they expected to be fed.
It was wild.
Those are well-fed
yeah.
ducks.
Yeah. I did not have ducks being a creature of routine with that level of intelligence. You know what I mean? Like to come up to the door here at 7 o'clock in the morning like that? Just standing here? I didn't, you know? The ducks feel like much...
most animals when they get fed pretty regularly, they get pretty smart real quick about it. Yeah,
you know, you're around animals more.
Yeah,
than
yeah, yeah. Ducks yeah. will. Yeah,
I live in the big city.
Like,
like oh, duck is like a dog.
Like, that's like squirrels on a college campus. Yeah. You know, like they might as well be dogs.
Yeah,
yeah they're just going to walk right up to you because
yeah.
they get fed so much.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
dining hall scraps.
So we've had red-faced ducks, grackle. Iguanas, one rat.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good week of wildlife. Man.
Yeah, are rats considered
no gators?
Rats
yet.
Wouldn't be considered. Are rats considered wildlife? I guess they are.
They're animals.
They're wild. Yeah, they're not domesticated rats. Or
I'm
anything,
using the term
so.
Loosely here.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, you were more. You were as. I think the biggest emotional response out of you after the iguanas was the rat.
For sure.
Yeah. You were you got kind of nervous about the rat.
I'm scared of rats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Because it's scurried. We were 2 feet away from it. It scurried right past us.
Was it? I didn't get to see it. Was it a rat or was it a mouse?
It was definitely a rat.
It was bigger than a mouse.
It was definitely had a long tail. It was bigger than a mouse, yes.
Yeah.
I know your distrust of me and things like this. I know. I know the skepticism that you're harboring right now as we speak. I'm telling you, it was a rat.
Okay.
And I think it was a rat because it was running from where the garbage cans were. I think it just got done eating.
But we're in this house. You always get a little bit nervous in Florida. Like, all right, what's the pest control situation going to be?
Yeah, this house is beautiful.
Yeah, it's probably sprayed all the hell with stuff that's going to kill us someday. But there's no bugs when we sleep at night.
That's
which
right.
Is important.
Yeah, yes. That's hugely important.
Yeah,
hugely important. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you into the 7 o'clock hour. We go. Hey, how about the Texans, man? How about the Texans? 6 out of 32 in the NFLPA report card
yeah.
that the players vote on for all the different categories. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with this. But the NFL does a survey, and I think I saw somewhere that about a little over half the players responded to the survey.
Yeah.
Some teams had better response than others. It seems like the teams where the players may have an axe to grind got more actual people responding to the surveys.
Yeah, the squeaky wheels
right.
get real squeaky when there's a chance. And it's done by the NFLPA, so
yep.
it's an initiative by the NFLPA to try to put some pressure on some of these owners. Out them a little bit, really, kind of embarrass them if they're not keeping facilities or treatment of the families or anything else up to snuff.
And I would say the Texans have nothing to be embarrassed about here. They scored six. They overall their overall GPA, if you will, was 6th out of 32 teams, led by, these are the categories they got an A in, a straight A. Food and dining area, nutritionist and dietitian, head coach, ownership. Cal McNair rated the 7th owner in this. I would say Cal and Hannah.
With the few years that they've been doing this report, or at least releasing it publicly, it seems like the owners have been rated higher for the Texans than probably what people in the national media would have expected.
No doubt.
It's like that's Cal's been very, very willing to spend on the player program type of stuff and the weight room and the dining room and all of that. I think he's a lot more liberal, I think, with his spending on that than Bob McNair was. So when it comes to you got your talking heads on TV that love to try to paint the McNairs out like they're demons. The people that actually work in the building, they get treated pretty well by the owners.
Here's what it says about ownership. Owner Cal McNair's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is 9.4 out of 10 from the Texans players, a ranking of 7 out of 32 owners in the league. Players feel that ownership significantly contributes to a positive team culture. That's sick. They were 6th in that category. And players feel that ownership is extremely committed to building a competitive team. They ranked 8th in that category. So they were in the upper quartile, Seth, in all of these various things.
This one that we're looking at doesn't have the entire all the teams together. Like, which was who was the very best in that regard, the best owner?
In the best owner, I'm not sure. I don't have the rankings of the – I can tell you who the best teams were.
Yeah.
The best teams were –
the Falcons had an A-plus in ownership.
Arthur Blank.
Arthur Blank, the Miami Dolphins, the Minnesota Vikings. Kings all had A pluses.
Yeah, these are the top workplaces overall, and they correlate. These top ones correlate directly to the owners that you're talking about here. Dolphins number 1, Vikings number 2, Falcons number 3, Raiders number 4, Chargers number 5. I think Raiders number 4 would surprise some people a little bit
ownership.
Well, for the overall grade.
Oh, for the overall.
These are the overall grades.
Yeah, well, I think that Mark Davis is very willing to spend on a lot of things that ever since they got that Vegas money, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Raiders used to be a stingy franchise and kind of a cash-poor franchise. Now they get all that Vegas money, and they're living the high life.
It's translating into a happier workplace. The bottom five, you ready for these?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, not owners, but the overall grades. Counting from 28 down to 32. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, they're kind of stingy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and as athletes are getting more and more coddled because there's just so much more money these days to pay for creature comforts, I think the Roonies have stayed pretty stingy on that stuff.
The problem with the Steelers, too, is that, and I say the problem, like, guys love playing for the Steelers because you're playing for the Steelers.
Yeah.
And they've never been bad in the last however many years. Like, they haven't picked in the top five in the draft since the early 70s.
Yeah.
They've been – the worst for the Steelers has been they've been, you know, mediocre.
Yeah, like an NBA team where the worst place you can be is mediocre.
You don't
get the lottery pick, but you don't get the –
But they're never so bad. For example, the Jets are next on this list.
Uh-huh.
They're 29th in the league. They're a disaster every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like –
The owner's sons are insulting players in the locker room after games.
Yeah, like I think guys – like I see a list, and I'll just do the rest of the list here just to close it out. Browns, 30.
Yeah.
That feels right. Patriots, 31.
Yeah.
Patriots, 31. I guess it's
not – look at the Patriots. He's stingy, too.
Yeah.
He's always been he's a stingy dude.
Cardinals, 32, by the way.
Yeah, and Cardinals constantly being sued for something.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not a surprise at all that the Cardinals are down that low. I guess the Chiefs had been one of the worst teams for a lot of these categories last year.
Yeah.
It looks like they put some – looks like the Hunt family put some work into
it. I looked at Clark Hunt's grade.
Yeah.
Which was an F last year for owner, not for the team, and he's up to a C-minus now.
That's so pretty good.
I guess the multiple Super Bowls have people feeling better about the –
he's eligible to play sports now.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Keep that C average there, man.
Exactly. So good job. Good job, Texans. The one complaint that Texans players had, Seth, and I feel like this has been a complaint for every year they've done this exercise – players want a sauna in the building.
I always wonder about this because I'm guessing – this is how it goes. This is the problem. As much education as you try to pound into guys about diet, nutrition, and everything, the linemen especially, they fall prey to the sitting in the sauna for an hour and a half and thinking that they actually lost weight. You cannot. There's some guys that you cannot pound into their heads that, like, no, you didn't just lose 10 pounds. That's all water weight. You're gonna gain all that. Nope. I'm down to 325. I am, and I wonder, especially in Houston, where they're so focused on trying to keep everybody hydrated all the time, that there's more people that abuse the sauna or use it to their detriment without even realizing it, that they just don't want to have the sauna in.
I'm not a big sauna guy, but I think there's, like, Amy. They just opened this sauna place across the street from us, and I got a gift card. It's just saunas. And I got a gift card for Amy for Christmas, and she went over there and used the gift card, and then yada, yada, yada comes home, and she's got a monthly membership there.
Oh, yeah.
She stops there like 3 or 4 days a week on her way home from school at like 4 o'clock and saunas for like an hour there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So she finds it very rejuvenating, and there are Texan players that have memberships at that
because they can't
sauna.
Get it.
They can't get it at their building. Yeah.
This is how Deshaun ended up in the trouble he had.
We gotta have guys. It's a sauna. It's not a massage parlor.
Hey, I've seen a lot of inappropriate activity. I felt uncomfortable. I have felt assaulted in saunas before at gyms just by the old men who were in
you
there.
You realize I just said
splayed out, spread eagle, like just
30 seconds ago that my wife goes there, and this is what you're saying right now.
You never know. Well, no, I'm sure she's a. There's. I don't feel comfortable with, like, a bunch of naked old dudes that I don't know sitting around buck naked
in
a
sauna. I believe the saunas are individual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're individual.
Do you you know what I did for a little bit?
I wouldn't pay a monthly membership to go sit with other people naked. Or I'd have to select
who
they are.
Well, you do. I mean, half the people – it feels like half the old guys at a gym are there. They pay their membership specifically for the sauna.
It's basically a schvitz.
They work out for like 15 minutes on the elliptical, and then they linger around the sauna for 3 hours.
Fair.
Like the Roman senators or something.
Yep.
I joined one of those float tank places for a little while.
Float tank.
You go. It's like
do tell.
You
what
get
is this?
Into you. You go into this this tub of salty water to where you float in it, and they close the door on top of you, and it creates this just this like this almost like a trance like experience. I was way too claustrophobic for it.
Yeah.
All I kept thinking was, like, what if there's some kind of malfunction where I can't open the lid up or
and
something?
And there's water in there?
There's a fire and I don't hear it or
so
something.
So hold up. You're like in a, it sounds like the way I'm envisioning it, I'm not saying you described it this way, but the way I'm envisioning it, it's almost like a casket and you're floating inside this thing?
Yeah, or like you're traveling through space and they're putting in you one of those coma machines or something.
Anything where I'm horizontal and hermetically sealed inside?
Yeah.
Some people
do it, and they have like almost a kind of trippy experience because you lose sensation. It feels like you're floating in space after a while.
Yeah.
It was not relaxing for me at all.
Oh.
And I had no desire to try to, you know, just push on through or something. Not for the price I was paying.
But some people like it, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I
know the one I went to is over down there on right on 59. I think they've been up and running for like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
so they're obviously doing a good job of it for people who like it. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me at all.
I'm not going to totally close the door on it because there may be an endorsement opportunity at some point. I'd hate for them to circle back to this segment.
They were like, and it really bothered me that the other clients were complaining about my screaming. You know, just like, okay, fine, whatever. Push through it. Make it part of the experience.
We can hear him.
Get me out!
We can hear
Get
him.
Get me
through
out!
The container. Oh, that's funny. Payne and Pendergast with you. So congrats. We say all this to say congrats, Texans. You're doing a hell of a job on the off-the-field
stuff.
These
ones are interesting because I feel like with the number of respondents, the difference between being an A-minus or a B-plus or it could just be one player, one specific player. So there's always one. There's always one grumpy SOB that's never going to be pleased with anything.
Well, and even D'Amico got an A
for
as head coach, but he was 14th for – if you dug into his actual, like, the numbers of his grade, he's 14th even with an A.
The fact that many guys got A's speaks to the fact that as an athlete filling out a survey
– skepticism.
You should never believe that it's going to be anonymous. We'll go back
to the
steroid reports in Major League Baseball, remember? Where it's like, no, don't worry.
Right.
It'll all be anonymous. Lo and behold, all of the names get leaked.
Well, and even like the crappy coaches, like Eberflus got a C.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like that's funny. Yeah, DeMeco got an A. Really? What was the low grade among coaches? A minus.
That's like those draft grades that one clown from NFL.com does.
Oh,
he gives everybody. He works for the
Chad Reuter.
Yeah, Chad Reuter.
Yeah.
It's like the lowest grade draft grade is like a C.
Yes.
Everybody else gets A's and B's. Yeah.
He's the professor that students are climbing over each other to get into his class.
He's the employee that knows how to not piss off any of the guys who are. If you work for NFL.com, ultimately your employers are the owners themselves.
Hey, speaking of which, you know who's an employee of NFL.com?
Who?
Ian Rappaport.
Oh, that's right.
How about this story?
Nugget hussy galore.
I woke up to this story today. A listener DM'd it to me. So yeah. I woke up this morning and did the first thing that you do every morning. I mean, it's the healthy thing to do. Go straight to Twitter.
Right. That's the most productive way to start your day.
Literally, it's the first thing I did. And I had a DM from a listener whose name escapes me right now, but I'll pull it up here just to give him the credit he deserves. But he brought this story to my attention, and I texted it to you, and you'd seen it already. Victor sent this to me. Apparently, there was an incident with a couple of the Nugget Hussies in the NFL world.
At a Starbucks, which I'm guessing was the Starbucks right there at the Marriott at the Combine.
The JW Marriott,
which is,
Indianapolis
Starbucks. A pretty popular
Starbucks.
Place during the Combine.
Yep. Here's this is Florio's version of the story. The Scouting Combine brings the entire NFL community together for better and for worse, per multiple sources who witnessed the interaction. And I swear I double and triple check to make sure this wasn't a fake story because it's so unbelievable. Jordan Schultz, who some people probably know from he's been on Fox of late as an NFL insider. He's been somebody who's been
– He's been coming up through the ranks
quasi-newsbreaker for a while.
Yeah.
But he's with Fox. Yep. He's at the Combine. And Ian Rappaport, who I think most of our listeners know, he works for NFL.com. He and Schefter are probably the two biggest newsbreakers, Nugget hussies, if you will. They engaged in a verbal altercation on Wednesday afternoon at the Starbucks at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. Schultz, we're told, this is Florio saying this, accosted him. The incident first came to light widespread when PFT commenter posted a tweet, PFT commenter, a barstool, posted a tweet on Wednesday night that referred to a serious big-time media confrontation between, quote, two NFL newsbreakers. The tweet sparked much speculation and an effort to get to the bottom of the situation. Florio points out some irony in this whole thing, that it happened at a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Jordan Schultz is the son of former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. He kind of had the home field advantage.
You're
there.
In my dojo, Ian Rappaport. Tall-sized.
Yes.
Tall,
Jordan Schultz lined up ready to crane kick him into Starbucks.
Tall is the tiniest size you can get in a coffee at a Starbucks.
Right.
So Ian Rappaport is a tall-sized NFL reporter.
Yes.
He's very little.
He's not even a venti.
Yeah.
But apparently we're told Rappaport was talking to an agent. Schultz walks up to Rappaport and says, "We need to talk."
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. Rappaport replies, "We don't need to talk."
Yeah.
Schultz then made accusations about Rappaport, we're told. Rappaport, we're told, this is Florio talking here, regards the accusations as unfounded. The two men were essentially nose to nose. They were right up in each other's grills.
Schultz must be short, too.
Schultz got down on his knees and got right up in Rappaport's face. Yes.
He got down on one knee.
Yeah. If you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face, Schultz said.
Yeah.
If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem. Rappaport then asked Schultz to step back. I would have loved to have seen that. You're crowding me, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If this happens again, we're going to have an effing problem, Schultz said again. Now I'll step back. So
this all stems from Jordan Schultz had reported that Matt Stafford and Tom Brady had gotten together to talk about potentially Stafford coming to play for the Raiders. Schultz said that Brady recently hosted Rams quarterback Matt Stafford at Brady's home in Montana. Quote, they spent time together and went skiing. Brady has been actively trying to convince Stafford to join the Raiders, and discussions are ongoing. Ian Rappaport reacted to the report by explaining that Brady and Stafford ran into each other at a ski resort in Montana, and that the unplanned meeting was not extensive or in-depth and did not include Brady hosting or recruiting Stafford. So this is the two Nugget hussies butting heads here.
Schultz is saying, my Nugget has substance.
Don't disrespect my Nugget,
You're
ho.
Disrespecting my... My nugget.
Yes.
Ho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Man, when you add ho to the end of something,
that
pops.
Well, listen, Ian Rappaport, I've had zero respect for him ever since during the Deshaun Watson saga. You'll recall Deshaun Watson and his representatives had told Cleveland when he was a limited free agent there. He was a limited edition free agent that year. They said no to Cleveland, and they were going to focus on what?
Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, Cleveland comes back into it and blew everybody else out of the water with an offer that they made to an extreme degree. It's still a record-breaking contract. It's still the highest contract ever for an NFL quarterback in terms of guaranteed money, right?
Dak exceeded it by a million.
Oh, Dak exceeded. Okay, yeah, so yeah. Anyway. Rappaport had the tiny cojones to say, at the end, this wasn't about the money. Stop carrying water for agents so
Dude.
Obviously and extremely. You're going to sit there and tell me this wasn't about the money?
Right.
When he had already said no, and then they offered $40 million more, and all of a sudden he says yes? So I don't trust Rappaport a minute when it comes to if an agent tells Rappaport to say, nope, they weren't meeting, then I believe Rappaport will report it.
So your team,
I don't trust them.
You're Team Schultz.
I'm Team Schultz, and I don't even know if Schultz is good at his job.
Your team,
I just don't like, ever since that, I can't let that go with Rappaport.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know if I like this Schultz guy, but my enemy's enemy is
yes,
my friend.
Yes, yes.
I love that.
I align with him in this regard.
Apparently, okay, you want me to get you even angrier at Rappaport on this thing?
Yeah.
He reported Schultz to NFL security.
Yeah, like I'm sure there was some threat of fit. Well, the one of the reports was that Schultz said, if you do that again, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
Which that can be a veiled physical
yeah,
threat.
Yeah, Rappaport declined to comment on the situation. Schultz told Pro Football Talk via text message, it really isn't anything too much. Ian Rappaport and I had a verbal confrontation. So it's confirmed that this happened.
Yeah.
It lasted a little over a minute. Multiple agents and reporters were nearby. Schultz seems to be pretty proud of this thing. He's like, yeah, multiple agents and reporters are nearby. Rappaport was the one who called security shortly after, but it never escalated further. Rappaport, you narc. Get your fists out. Let's go. Oh, man.
I don't know. I'd have to see the video footage. It's out there. Somebody's got to get it. I wonder,
think,
is this
right?
Something that TMZ would bother spending money on?
Yes. Oh, spending this, money on, I don't know.
To get the footage of this?
I thought you meant, would they bother doing a story about it?
Well, no, they'll do a story about it, but TMZ Sports, would they actually dish out some money for somebody to give up the security
footage? What's the most they pay for, I've heard of them paying, $100,000 for a video.
I don't think they would pay $100,000.
I wouldn't
this.
If I were them.
Yeah.
I'd pay, $10,000.
But you got to pay for it because it's not like a hotel's want. They don't want their – Marriott doesn't want their reputation.
Oh.
Hey, if you're a guest of ours, totally.
Oh, you're talking about getting, the security footage.
Yeah.
I thought you meant somebody nearby.
No,
I meant
the security footage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this sounds like it transpired quickly enough that there – maybe nobody – well, especially, too, it's, not out in the general public.
Yeah.
It's with a bunch of NFL people around.
Yeah.
And they're probably a little less likely to take video footage of it.
Right.
I almost took video footage at the airport on the way here.
What happened?
Because, okay, so I was sitting, I had a long, long layover, mm-hmm. and I was sitting down, and I hear some commotion at the Southwest desk across the way, and it's this guy who's upset because they're not letting him on the plane, because the plane is right there, it's about to depart, but the doors have been closed. If you've ever been in this situation, you know it's frustrating, because the rules are they can't let you on once the doors are closed. And the guy's getting agitated. And at first I was like, all right, I understand why he'd be upset. He just got there. And then it became really clear that the reason that he didn't get there in time was because this guy was drunk off his ass.
Oh, he'd been in the bar, huh?
Yeah. And he started to really gesticulate. He's like, I need you to tell me how you're going to get me. And he's pointing at the plane.
Oh, boy.
On that plane right there, because I've got to get to Phoenix. And the Southwest employee was just handling it marvelously. And I don't like to... I don't ever want to be this guy, but I almost felt like I might need to document this.
Yeah.
So I started to pull it out, but the manager came over, and she had a really deft touch with the drunkards. And by that point, it was becoming really clear, this guy's just drunk off his ass.
Yeah.
He was definitely just sitting at the bar, and that's why he missed the flight.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was that... I understand being frustrated that, if you had a tight connection or something. This guy was just drunk. But she somehow shooed him away. And he's yelling the whole way down the
so
whole
he didn't
way
get
down
on the plane.
As he's walking away. No,
yeah.
No, of course
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. What, do you think he was going to belligerently, drunkenly shout his way onto the plane?
I don't know. Yeah, no.
I've talked my way on once when the door was closed, but it was because it was a genuine It was the airline's fault because our flight landed on time.
Yeah.
It was at LaGuardia, I think, which is awful.
That sounds fun.
The plane landed on time. I hoofed it to the shuttle and everything, and I got there after. And this is the key, kids out there. Most airline employees genuinely want to help you.
Yeah.
But you got to just act like you'll appreciate their help. You're not going to bully them into doing anything that they're going to go above and beyond for. So I explained my situation to the guy, and he worked his walkie-talkie like a fiend.
And you got on?
Talked to like two different layers of management, and they got me on.
Did you feel like you had a good chance of getting on when you
got
on?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. I was just I just laid it out. I made it very clear. I know it's not your fault. This is a weird situation, man. Our flight landed on time. I'm going from a United flight to a United flight.
Yeah.
And I did not waste any time. And he's like, I know.
You did a good job of setting yourself up for empathy.
Yeah.
You know, by being calm in that situation.
Well, but I also didn't, it's not like they're going to hear a travel sob story that they're like, oh, mon Dieu, oh,
sacre
bleu. I can't believe the injustice or anything. Just try to lay it out, you know, it's matter-of-factly.
That's good advice for
the kids. I wasn't like, I've suffered an grave injustice.
Yeah, man.
No, yeah.
That's good advice for the kids out there. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're live in West Palm Beach getting ready to head to go see some Astros baseball today against the Mets in Port St. Lucie. We're getting Colton Gordon on the mound today, Seth.
Finally!
Yeah, it's all you've been talking about the whole time.
You guys had to put a gag order on me.
He's one of the two. Him and Ryan Gusto are the two names that are the intriguing, fringe potential starters for this team. They've got the five lined up already. You know, in a perfect world with health coming out of spring training, it's going to be Hunter Brown, some order of Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Spencer Arrighetti, Ronel Blanco, and Hayden Wisniewski.
Yeah.
And so we've gotten to see three of those five guys already here in our two games.
Wisniewski looked good, even though he was working on his curveball. He's adding the curveball to the mix. And so it wasn't like a brilliant statistical outing or anything, but I thought he looked great.
I thought Framber looked like Framber. Yeah. Wisniewski, he gave up a home run, gave up a little hard contact, struck out three guys. I thought Framber looks ready after two innings, whatever. Wisniewski did some encouraging things. Ronel Blanco at least has a box score that concerns me, but maybe he was working on some things too.
Yeah.
So, but Colton Gordon will be interesting today. He and Gusto are the two that are kind of on the fringe. We'll get the lineup at some point here, probably in the next hour and a half. Adam Spillane is out at the ballpark doing some media out there with Joe Espada and company. So we will hear from Spo a little later on in the show. We thank Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us down here. Also, a quick reminder, today is a Rodeo Ticket Thursday, so we're going to be giving away Zach Top tickets between now and the end of this segment. So be tuned right here if you want to go to the Rodeo on Tuesday, March 11th, and see Zach Top. GMs, coaches, meeting with the media at the Combine. Colin, we're going to get to the John Lynch here. Let's skip down to that. The Brock Purdy contract, this will be something that if C.J. Stroud has a good year this year, this will be a topic that Nick Caserio will be addressing next year, the way that John Lynch is addressing Brock Purdy's contract this year. Here was John Lynch, GM of the San Francisco 49ers, with the latest on the Brock Purdy negotiations.
I won't go into negotiations always is our stance. Want Brock to be our quarterback as long as we're here and beyond, and we'll leave it at that. I think the final thing, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so, and we've been able to do that. So
they're definitely working on it.
Yeah, and I think that as it goes with quarterbacks, this is how it works in the NFL now. They're so expensive, and the more you kick the can down the road, you end up paying out the nose. We saw it with the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott had a gruesome ankle injury in a year where they could have extended him before that season. He still ended up getting a bigger contract the next year than they could have gotten him for that year. So if you're a viable quarterback in your third year, you're generally going to get a contract. It's just interesting because the 49ers are in a position right now where they've laid out, they've spent a lot of money in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they did it with Brandon Ayuk last year, and it didn't really work out. Nice. I mean, they redid Trent Williams' contract last year.
Yep.
He's a guy who's in his upper 30s. They've got a lot of money on the books, and now you're also kind of renegotiating your quarterback who they feel good about, but I don't think you should be 100% slam dunk certain that Brock Purdy's the guy for the future.
Well, no, and they've spent top of market at tight end with George Kittle.
Yeah.
Linebacker, inside off-ball linebacker with Fred Warner. Deebo Samuel got a big contract. They're trying to trade him now. That's another thing John Lynch said, is they're going to honor Deebo Samuel's trade request. You and I talked about that yesterday at the end of the show. He's one of four players in the NFL right now, prominent players, who've been given permission to go find a trade partner for their teams. But he's making a lot of money. He's on the books for a lot. Nick Bosa has a top-of-market contract. You mentioned Brandon Ayuk. He's near the top of the market at wide receiver. And Christian McCaffrey is at the top of the market for running. Seth, they've got six or seven guys who are among the three or four most expensive guys at their position, and quarterback ain't one of them right now.
Right.
So you're leaning into Brock Purdy as your quarterback of the future. If they do this, which I think they will, and I've been skeptical about that, but I think it appears it's going to happen. On a team that looks to be more about shedding expensive guys than building that core new, like CJ is coming in next year. If we're having this conversation about CJ Stroud next year, he's coming in as the expensive quarterback on a much better part of the Texans' arc than Brock Purdy's coming in on the back end, where all these guys we're talking about, half of them probably won't be there in the next year or two.
There's a blogger who covers the 49ers and has a really successful YouTube channel. His name's Grant Cohn. And the team hates him.
Yeah, they hate him.
They hate him. But I'm curious. Tell me that. I like reading his stuff just sometimes, because it's almost you can feel the venom seething through even sentences that might not otherwise be.
Is he talking about this?
Yeah, so this is as he lays out their situation. Tell me if this rings true, because this is how he sees it. The past 2 years, the 49ers overpaid to keep a few of their stars, namely Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk. Do you think is it an overpay for Nick Bosa?
Is he making like $34 million?
He got a really good. He got a top of the market deal, but I don't think it was an overpay. I think that was his value as a free agent, or whether you kept him.
I'll
or
just
not.
Go back to how I felt about both of those contracts at the time. I thought the Nick Bosa contract made complete sense to me. He's a defensive player of the year in that conversation every year when he's healthy. I thought the Ayuk saga was a joke.
That's what weird about. Brandon Ayuk. And then, he creates all this drama, turns down situations and offers.
Yeah, I thought that was a dumb contract.
Yeah. They wanted to trade him. They had the trade ready, and he just didn't want to go.
My feeling was then force him to let it play out on his fifth-year option. That's what I said at the time.
Ayuk's an interesting one, because I think because of the offense he played on, he has more name brand appeal than what his actual performance has been.
He's
had two seasons over 1,000 yards. 2022, he was 1,015 yards. And then in 2023, last year when he started agitating for a contract, 1,342 yards.
Yeah.
But that's he's been very, very promising. He had that one really good season, and then he collapses last year and gets injured when he comes back, ends up with 374 yards.
He's a good player. I just don't think he's worth
for him.
$30 million. At the time, when he was agitating, I said, he's a guy. There are certain guys that if they agitate, I would accommodate them. He was not one of them.
He's a very good receiver, but he's also a product of the system.
Yeah, he's replaceable.
The way it was operating,
he's replaceable. So that's the and he got injured this year. But even when he was healthy, he wasn't putting up big numbers. He missed all of camp.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, man. I think go get your money. Go get your bag, Brock Purdy. Other stuff from the other sound from the combine. Have you seen? I think Liam Cohen, the coach of the Jags, is gonna murder somebody over all this Duval. All these people bringing it up. Florio brings this up in an interview a couple days ago. He has Liam Cohen, the coach of the Jags, on, and this is what it sounded like.
Did you have any idea as the Duval was coming out that it was going to become a thing?
Not at all.
Duval.
I'm a quarterback by nature. Everybody's got a different cadence. I'm learning that cadence.
I love it.
And I'm excited about kind of getting some of that moving forward.
You ready to – you want to do another one? You want to try to balance out?
Duval. I'll do it for you.
Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Yeah, the one doing it there was Chris Sims.
Chris Sims is like, I'm a quarterback too, by the way, Liam.
Yeah. I have cadence.
Seems pretty simple to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the voice, Liam Cohen, you can hear going like, no, I'm good. And if you can see the look on his face, he's like, all right, I'm going to have to do this at every interview. Here's Pete Prisco egging Liam Cohen on. Yes, here's Pete Prisco on Jacksonville Radio.
By the way, I told your marketing guys, I said, You need to get a marketing promotion of have people try to do Duval like you did it. Like you, not the way everybody else, but like you did.
Have you got pushback on that?
I'm trying to learn cadence. I'm a cadence guy, right? You go through cadence all the time as a quarterback. Everybody's got a different cadence, and you learn to adapt.
Yeah,
there you go. You live and you learn.
It's fun.
For what it's worth, I didn't know anything about it because I'm old and off the internet. As far as I know, you said it correctly.
Yeah, I haven't really.
By the way, that's a newest thing around there. It wasn't around for 20 years ago. Yeah, that's a new thing.
Liam learned a lesson.
They're passionate about it. I'm ultimately not too worried about it.
Yeah, your job is to coach football.
Go win games, and the rest takes care of itself.
They'll all do it that way.
That's right.
He wants this to go away so bad.
I didn't even think about that at the combine where there's all those media outlets and everything. He probably had to address it like
you lit up
times.
When I said Prisco asked him about it.
Prisco. Well, whoever said it. Well, Prisco showed his age by saying it's a new thing. That Duval has been around for at least a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't.
He literally said, "I'm not on the internet." I don't know.
That was somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, I would hope Prisco's on the internet.
Well, Prisco used to do a radio show with Tony Baselli, but now Tony Baselli obviously isn't going to be doing anything.
He's a suit now.
He might do a weekly appearance as whatever his role is there.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. He's like VP of operations.
Look, Liam Cohen. Like, you're not Bill Buckner, all right? Like, okay, yeah, it's a little bit of a verbal miscue. Just roll with it, man. Have some fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You should carry a little a boombox around with him that has him saying it or something, so he can just press the play.
You know what?
He doesn't have to worry about the pressure of it.
This is where I'll respect James Gladstone,
yeah,
the new GM there, the boy wonder, mm-hmm, the one we made fun of the other day. If he makes Liam Cohen saying Duval like his ringtone or something like that. And they're sitting together somewhere and the phone rings and I'll say, Duval.
That's, man,
Duval,
I don't think they don't know each other Duval. Well enough for that yet. That's,
I know. You got to test the boundaries.
The guy in a relationship like that, when a guy starts ball busting right off the bat, something like that. That's a dicey. This is the dumbest little meaningless thing. And yet at the beginning of taking an authoritarian role somewhere,
yeah,
it can be a big deal depending on how you handle it.
Yes.
Like usually, once you've established competence, then people like a little bit of human fallibility.
Right.
It makes you relatable. It makes people like you more if you've established that you're competent. If you haven't established that you're competent yet, which no first-time hire has, it can work against you a little bit. It gives that little bit of a goofy feel to you, yeah.
So do you think
he needs to fire a couple people.
Do you think
he needs to wait until somebody says it, like as a joke, fire that guy.
Fire, okay.
You establish yourself as a man not to be trifled with.
Okay, so you think – should he have taken Florio up on his offer to do it again in that moment right there? Because he looked a little pissy about the whole thing.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
no,
I like your idea of firing people.
You don't want to roll with it to the whole, yeah.
Oh,
you
no.
don't want to get overly agitated about it or anything publicly, but you just got, you're all about business. We're focused, you know?
Hey, let's give away some roadie. Thank you. That needs to be a ringtone.
That's like the Mike Dukakis moment where he just, he was at a rally. He just made a, it's funny, it's weird. He just made like a really goofy voice.
Was that Dukakis or that was somebody else?
Oh, it wasn't Dukakis. Like, who was it? Anyway.
Dean? Was Dean his last name? The politician was like, yeah!
Oh, that's what it was. Dukakis was the Snoopy in the tank photo that supposedly worked against him.
Okay.
It was Dean that had like a, he was at a rally.
We're going to go to Alaska. We're going to go to him. We're going to go to,
I don't know, which it was really goofy, but I don't feel like, I feel like that must be, I have zero memory of that whole election or anything, obviously.
Let's go look it up during the break.
It just seems that'd like something that maybe got blown up to like, it's easy to blame that when it was multiple
other
things.
It got memed before memes were a thing.
Yeah.
Hey, let's give away
I feel like now there's so much coverage of candidates that every single candidate says about 20 things
that
are unbelievable. That like, oh, you can't get elected after that.
No. We're desensitized.
Yeah.
Let's give away some rodeo tickets here. It's Rodeo Ticket Thursday, 713-572-4610. Caller number four wins a four-pack of tickets to see Zach Top live at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo on Tuesday, March 11th. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number four and you're on your way. Keep listening all day. More chances to win rodeo tickets all day long, including in the 9 o'clock hour on this show. It's a Rodeo Ticket Thursday on Sports Radio 610. We'll do our mock draft injection, daily injection of mock draft. This one's Bucky Brooks, version 2.0. NFL.com. We'll do that. Talk some draft coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, mock draft injection. We do it every day at this time. It is draft season, the Combine. Combine really gets going today. There's workouts, obviously teams talking to players there all week long. We'll hear from Nick Caserio in the next segment. He met with the media yesterday. He was making the rounds yesterday. He was on McAfee, stirring the pot with various WWE wrestlers.
Yeah, he enjoys going on McAfee. They have a good time with him.
Yep. So let's do the mock draft. Bucky Brooks, NFL.com. Bucky Brooks, former wide receiver in the NFL. He's been doing NFL.com work and media stuff for many, many years, does a nice job. He has his second mock draft, so this is the second one he's done. We'll look at some of the other teams in these two as we continue to go on this draft journey, but we'll always start with the Texans here. So let's see what Bucky Brooks has to say. Again, Bucky Brooks, former wide receiver. So we page down with the 25th overall pick. Thank you. The Houston Texans select Luther Burden III, Missouri wide receiver. This is the second one we've done of these, Seth. We're about 2 weeks into doing these, going through the various mock drafts. This is the second one that I can remember that has had Luther Burden III.
And then he mentions, Bucky Brooks mentions, hey, if they don't retain Stephon Diggs or bring back Stephon Diggs, this is a guy that does really good work on the shorter stuff. He's 5'11", 205. You know, he's not huge. He's not tiny. But he does he can be a deep ball threat as well. It's just in that offense, like 75% of his catches were inside of 10 yards. So a lot of the shorter area stuff that can be a compliment to Nico Collins, it's easy to envision him being a guy that plays in the slot or wherever else and can compliment Nico Collins.
Spent the second most time in the slot of any receiver in Division I football
last year.
As far as at snap.
Yeah. You know? So, which, as we know, like, that doesn't – in the NFL, guys are much less tied to one position anymore, and they tend to play all over the place.
Yep.
And also, you know, this comes to – we should mention, because on Texans radio yesterday – Cecil Shorts was talking about the Tank Dell injury.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it. I saw the tweet.
Cecil was – painting a picture that, hey, just brace yourself. This could be a really, really long road for Tank Dell. Because Cecil had a similarly catastrophic knee injury with multiple ligament tears. And he wasn't cleared to play for like 4.5 years after that.
So
that's a worst-case scenario. But it's a good reminder that, man, every time they ask D'Amico about Tank Dell, D'Amico just says, he's smiling. He's in good spirits and everything. Like, there's no part where I think D'Amico wants to lead anybody into thinking that Tank Dell might be back.
He's in good spirits is what we hear a lot.
Yeah,
that was the year after Cecil left the Texans. He played here in 2015, and he went to the Bucs in 2016, and it was Jahlil Adai, who eventually became a Texan, who was with the Chargers at the time. And I think might have been a preseason game. I forget. But Cecil had a bad knee injury.
The guys I know, Kylie Wong had a really bad knee injury in 2005.
Yeah.
And it was hard for him to come back. He came back, and it was actually D'Amico's rookie year.
Yeah.
D'Amico replaced Kylie Wong. And that was the last year Kylie would play because it's just he had multiple ligament tears.
Sure. Yeah, Cecil Shorts, it was during the season. He played 9 games that year. Signed with the Bucs. He was placed on injured reserve on December 6th after tearing his ACL, MCL, and PCL in a game against the Chargers. He appeared in 9 games that year. He never played again after that. So not to throw cold water on Tank and his recovery.
I don't think you can't realistically expect him to be back this year. Hopefully you can, but right. Yeah, I think
Burden makes sense.
Burden makes a lot of sense. Who do the Titans take up in here in this joint?
Let's do this. Hey, Colin, get the sounder ready again. I'm going to act like Goodell at the top of the draft here. With the first pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Abdul Carter, who's dealing with his own issues right now.
Yeah, good luck, Titans.
Yeah.
Good luck taking him. Did you not hear about his foot injury?
They may not have in Tennessee. They just got running water there 5 years ago. They don't have the internet.
They're like Prisco's co-host there that doesn't have the internet.
Yeah.
Like, what's this they say about a foot something?
For those who haven't heard, Abdul Carter, in his medical testing at the combine, they found a stress reaction, I think they called it, in his right foot.
They didn't call it a stress fracture. They called it a stress reaction.
I think is what the article said. So Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, and Rosenhaus, speaking on behalf of Abdul Carter, said they're still figuring out what they want to do as far as surgery goes.
Yeah. I know. I saw the sports Dr. Chow there said that he should just go ahead and have the surgery right now.
Yeah,
because it's like an 8-week recovery.
Yeah, it doesn't say. I mean, on the surface, it doesn't sound like anything that's career threatening. But you brought up this point before: large individuals and foot injuries are kind of tend to get a little bit underplayed sometimes.
It's the minor injury that scares me the most because it seems like so many guys either re-injure it again at some point or they're not the same guy afterwards. I mean, Matt Schaub had a good season after his Liz Frank injury, but he was never actually the same guy after that Liz Frank injury.
Yeah.
And, for the Texans, Johnson. Kevin Johnson, his foot issues just lingered year after year after year. I get nervous about feet.
I do, too. Hey, let's hit the Jags here real quick. They're near the top of the draft. One more sounder for us here, Colin. With the fifth pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Travis Hunter.
Oh.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Colorado.
I want him in the division. Yes.
I do too.
Give it to me. Give me Deion in the division. Give me Travis Hunter in the division.
Oh, Shador to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter to Jacksonville.
I genuinely – I don't have any issue at all with star power being in the AFC South. I don't worry about – listen, if you're going to be a good football team, then you're going to have to beat other good football teams.
Yes.
You can't always just rely on having a bunch of patsies in your division.
Right.
So I don't worry about that. I like – for the AFC South, which struggles to get the attention that, damn it, it deserves sometimes. I want that. And it's twice a year. You get to see Travis Hunter in person to see how it all works out.
The Jags are an interesting one to me because I wonder – it's, you know, Liam Cohen's an offensive head coach.
Yeah.
The James Gladstone, the 34-year-old boy wonder at GM, probably has some sort of computer printout about whether or not to play Travis Hunter on both sides to something. Like, I'm guessing James Gladstone has run some sort of algorithm on whether or not Travis Hunter should be playing 10 snaps a game on the offensive side of the ball.
Bucky sticks to defense and says adding a dynamic defensive playmaker could help solidify the Jaguars' coverage and improve their takeaway prowess in a C-ball, get-ball scheme under new defensive coordinator Anthony Campanelli.
Do you think that's where his future is, Travis Hunter, on the defensive side of the ball?
I think corner? So. Yeah, I think
He's so good at both, though, man.
Yeah.
He's so good. But yeah, and let's hit the Colts here too. As long as we're rounding out the division, Colin, ready with the sounder here with the 14th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. The Indianapolis Colts select Tyler Warren, tight end, Penn State. I swear, 95% of the mocks that we've done in this exercise have Tyler Warren going to the Indianapolis Colts. More often than not, he's going to the Colts in these exercises. Adding more playmakers, this is Bucky Brooks, is essential to helping Anthony Richardson reach his potential as a franchise quarterback. Warren is a freak athlete with the athletic measurements and production to tickle Chris Ballard's fancy.
Gross.
Yeah. Tickle Chris Ballard's fancy.
He's just a glorified Kobe Fleener, who I despise. I love
he's
Tyler
really
Warren,
good.
But if he goes to Indianapolis, it's going to ruin him.
That's where we are
Mark
now.
Mark my words, it'll ruin him. Yeah, enjoy all those touch passes from Anthony Richardson.
Enjoy
that. Enjoy that mayhem.
There is no way. If I was a tight end or a wide receiver, there is no way I would want to go to Indianapolis.
It's like playing with Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, great. I'll get my catch rate's going to be bad because I'm going to have so many inaccurate. I won't have a lot of drops, luckily, because the balls won't even be close enough to catch them. But it's going to reflect poorly on me just because my catch rate when targeted is so low.
Passer rating when targeted,
It'll look like that for the untrained eye or the people that don't know how bad Anthony Richardson is.
Don't watch Colts games.
They're just going to think those receivers are no good.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. That's the mock draft injection. We do it every day at 7:45. I like looking at the other teams in the division, too. I'm with you.
I like Tyler Warren going to the Colts and them not extracting the maximum value out of him.
Yes.
And then the Texans picking him up in free agency or off the trash heap in a couple
years. As a distressed asset.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. All right. Speaking of which, Nick Caserio, on his draft philosophy yesterday at the Combine, we will get to the Texans GM coming up next.